Well, I just want to start again by thanking all of you who helped make this weekend happen. Particularly want to thank Sharon and Young and Edith is like the all-purpose servant of God. She just does so many things around here, look nice, go well, and you don't know how it got there, but it's because Edith and her family. And so thank God for Edith. And amen. But all the others who helped, yeah, amen. And all the others who helped in the kitchen, the food was just extraordinary. And it was so awesome. And I've heard so many people talk about it. And this is part of the environment, just the hospitality, just the comfort that brings as you're going through the weekend. I want to thank Karen Welch. Where's Karen? Karen's over there sleeping, trying to recover from administrating all this. This is an amazing job Karen did to keep in touch with all of you and send the notes, to create the booklet she and Linda Chandler created, the follow-up booklets. It's been awesome. And Lazarus just took another step up at a higher level. All the teams and team members and leaders and the intercessors, you laid down your life for Christ. And you ministered to him as he dressed up in the form of those people you were ministering to. And for you 15 particularly, we especially want to thank you that you would trust your lives to God through us. It means more than you can ever imagine that you came and blessed us through your passionate desire to want more. So just bless you 15. Amen. Shelby, you want to pray for me? I also want to thank someone for an extraordinary new place in our worship experience, and that is what Kristen's doing. Amen. Just awesome. And she just came to me, and she's an extraordinary artist, had this passion, and I said, this is the answer to prayer, so go for it. So that'll be a part of who we are in our worship. And tell you what, if I have some guy who will come and just move the supplies over here. So all we see is the picture. So just move it behind the pulpit. Just move it over here behind the pulpit. The supplies, not the painting. Thank you, Ron. Amen. On our Lazarus Sundays, this is the day when we kind of very specifically try to communicate how to walk this out daily. As I've said to you at the first of the week on Thursday night, you know, I don't want us to be like the mountains of Bashan. The mountains of Bashan in Psalm 68, verses, I think it's 15 through 18. It talks about the mountains of Bashan being the mountain of God that had many peaks. But that mountain stared across with envy at another mountain, Zion, where God had his dwelling place, where it was a permanent abiding place. And what we were saying is that I'm not after another revival experience, another charismatic peak. Then you come down the hill, another charismatic peak, then you come down the hill, another charismatic peak. We want to be a place like Zion, where God habitates in our life, and revival is a daily experience when you're doing the laundry, when you're paying the bills, when you're going to work, or if you're somewhere praying for the sick. The great sign and wonder of revival isn't just people getting healed or set free, those things that we call miracles. The miracle is that you can walk in revival during ordinary time, when you're just living life, a steady place in the heights. That's what we're going for, something sustainable. not just a memory that we always talk about that happened back then. We slid down the hill and we're looking for another experience and another peak and another peak and another peak. We want to be a mountain and we want to live there. And we want God to give us hinds feet on high places so we navigate that, right? The presence of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit should be there in your study time, in your paying the bills time, when you're washing dishes, when you're doing laundry, when you're in the traffic. That's what we're after. And that's the life that Jesus lived. Jesus was Jesus every minute of every day. There weren't just the peaks. Revival is the life that Jesus lives. And today, we did this some in our last session on Friday, but I want to follow up on that and be as practical as I know how to give you something to sink your teeth into so that you know how to navigate this thing and it stays consistent. It's not bashing. That's God. Those peaks are God. But it's a better thing to live there instead of just there and then 2 weeks later you're back down. And let's go get another thing hit. We get hit again. Oh, that's awesome. And then we're back down. Oh, we've got to go to another thing, get hit again. No, it's better just to live there. Amen? And so I'm going to give you, Christianity is not a how-to. Christianity is a who-to. But there are some who-tos to the how-to. There's some how-tos to the who-to. And so I'm going to give you some hows. And the how is very simple. The Scripture says, the just shall live by faith. The Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It also says in Romans chapter 11, verse 23, that which is not of faith is sin. So we shared on Friday afternoon, and Jesus is our great example. As the Son of Man, the way He was able to sustain that life in His own life as the Son of Man, He lived in perpetual, what we call revival, normal Christianity. It's because, one, He was radically surrendered to His Father's will, and so He lived a sent life. He believed everything He did, no matter how mundane it might appear, He was doing it because He was sent. He was in the Father. And He knew how to appropriate the life of the Father and the power of the Father so that the Father could do the works through Him. It's all about faith. Yet the heart of surrender is faith. If you don't trust someone, you're not going to yield your life to them. When you get into situations and tight places, if you don't trust someone, you're simply going to worry and try to maneuver and manipulate because you don't think they're big enough to deal with it. So I want to talk to you a little bit about something that started in Colossians chapter 2. If you remember me telling this story, I think I did on Thursday night, and I was telling the story about some of my own journey and one of the things that happened to me not that long ago. I was just crying out to God for more in my experience. And I was saying, God, I want it all, I want it all. Remember? And I did that for a couple of weeks. And one day I was crying, just crying out to God, I want it all, I want it all. And I was feeling rather proud of myself because I was so sincere about it. And then the Lord stopped. And it was almost the audible voice of God. He said, so do I, Chuck. And He said, I get to go first. There was also a time in my life when I was talking to the Lord and I was saying, Lord, man, I've almost seen just this thing bust out. I've almost seen this, and I've almost seen that, and I've almost seen this. And the Lord said, excuse me, concerning you, Chuck, you've almost. Wow. You really have placed in me everything that's necessary to live in perpetual revival. I'm complete in Christ. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Everything that pertains life and godliness has been given to me. Jesus Christ, all that He is, lives inside of me. Everything necessary to live the life that Christ lives. To be Christ-like, not by effort, but by faith. A supernatural life lived out every day, doing the laundry or healing the sick. Going to Africa or being on Broad Street. Everything necessary. We've talked about that. Christianity is not like religion. Religion always starts off with demanding. Do this, do this, and do this, and you can get there. Jesus always starts off with bestowing. You're there, now do this, do this, do this. I give you this, all that you need, now go do it. Not go do it, then you can earn this. I give it to you as a free gift, now go do this. And when I was crying out to God, and He dealt with me over some months about some stuff, and I was here praying, just lighting some charismatic candles. And as I was lighting these charismatic candles, because they carry the prayer as long as they are lit, a charismatic, only a charismatic could believe something like that. And so I light this charismatic candle, and I said, Lord, Lord, I want it all. And He said to me, Chuck, you've got it all. You know that. I said, okay. I want to experience it all. And He said, well, then receive it all. I thought, wow. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Just as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now the question is very simple. How did you receive Christ as Lord? By doing, by working, by straining, by crying. You did it how? How did you receive Christ? By grace, we're saved through what? Faith. Not a result of works. Not of ourselves. Here again, one of the most important things you're going to ever hear. The Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible. And it was meant to be that way so that you would have to live by faith. But you see, because He's bestowed everything to you, everything necessary for life and godliness, because He's done that, He doesn't think any requirement of you is over the top or ridiculous. It only is ridiculous to us if we relate that situation to my own human energy and I go, I just can't do this anymore. This is just too hard. But nothing can be done to the one who is in me. And we walk that out by faith. Just like you received Him, walk in Him. Remember Galatians 2:20 again? For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith.
Faith of the Son.
The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself to me. And the one who gave Himself to me, as you live by faith, gives Himself to you again and again and again and again. Now remember, everything that you have, everything you need to live the Christian life, you have in the person of Jesus. You're complete in Him because all the fullness of deity is embodied in Him. And because you're in Him and He's in you, you got it all in this person. Christian life is a person. It's not a formula. It's a person. And so when I talk about receiving, when we became a Christian, we received one into our hearts. But now He's there. Now we're receiving Him, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. To live His life through us. And we do it by faith. That's how we live this life out. Now, because we're limited in time, what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 makes it really clear what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There's a lot of things we can say about faith. Unfortunately, we have a lot of teachings about having faith in faith. Our faith is not in faith. Our faith is in the one our faith is in. That's how faith works. Faith is kind of like eyes. They don't work until they're fixed on the object. But if you try to have faith in your faith and you try to look at yourself all the time and see if you have enough faith, it's like a centipede stopping and trying to figure out which leg goes first. And he never goes anywhere. Faith is fixed on something outside of yourselves, other than who you are. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith doesn't make anything real. Faith doesn't create anything. Faith is evidence that something already exists. Faith doesn't make something exist. It's evidence that something already exists. And faith is substance. If you don't have substance, you don't have faith. And again, what do I mean by that is, like, if you don't have it in your hand... No, if you don't have it, you own it. You know it's real. It's yours. You're holding it. You may not see it yet in these eyes, but it's God. You got it. It's substance. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence. It's proof that something already exists. Now, you've heard me say this a gazillion times, CTK, hear it again. But see what faith does. Faith is that amazing bridge that pulls that which exists already in the heavenly realm, which is more real than this realm, because that realm lasts forever. Faith is that thing that somehow pulls what exists in that realm and pulls it into our experience in this realm. And you believe it because it already exists in that realm, not because you see it yet in this realm. Comprende? So faith is what? How does faith work? It acts like it is so, even when it isn't so in this realm. This realm. It acts like it is so, even though it isn't so. Because you know it is so. It acts like it is so when it isn't so, in order for it to be so, because you know it is so. He says it's so. Hear it again. It acts like it is so, talks like it is so, even when it isn't so, in order for it to be so, because He says it's so. That's faith. And I'll show it to you more in just a second. Now, the language of faith is really simple. Now, I'm not going to turn to all these verses. This is going to be, you can go hear this again on our homepage later. You can write notes, whatever. But I'll quote the verses, but I'm not going to look at all of them. I'll look at a few of them. The language of faith is very simple. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For that is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Sometimes knowing God's will can be really complicated. I can tell you one thing about God's will that's not very complicated. You can get down right now. And that in everything, in whatever thing you're in right now, give thanks. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, something even more remarkable. Give thanks for all things. Not just in all things, but for all things. And I'll show you what that means, what makes sense. In Philippians, just around the corner here, it says in verse 4, chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, because God is at hand. Boy, is He ever. He's so at hand, He actually lives inside of you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Sometimes we forget that part. Sometimes we'll go to the Lord with prayer and supplication and walk away just as anxious as we were before we got there. Go before Him, prayer, supplication, be specific, and then with thanksgiving. And then He says, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. And you know what will happen when you do that? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not just that you went to the Lord in prayer, but you finished the prayer with thanksgiving, with an expectation. Let me show you how it operates. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I'll just present this to you for your consideration. If you're to give thanks in all things, if you're to give thanks for all things, if every time you pray, you should, the last thing you should seal it with is thanksgiving, I'm going to say to you, the language of faith is thanks. Because you see, when you thank somebody for something, you believe it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I've committed this to you. That's what I'm going to take care of. Well, thank you. And you believe it's taken care of. Thanks is something that believes it exists. It's real. It's mine. You don't have to keep begging for it, pleading for it. God wants us to move beyond a place of pleading faith and start entering into resting faith. Because faith, when somebody hands me a gift and I take it, I don't go, no, I wish you'd give me the gift. I mean, I really would like that gift. I really want that gift. And the person would probably look at you and think you're crazy. And thought, I've given you the gift. I've made you complete in Christ. Everything Jesus is, everything Jesus has is yours right now, today, in this situation. So why don't you just take what you already have, which I've already given, and go, thank you. Because the language of faith says, I believe it. I got it. I'm not pleading for it anymore. I got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Again, the story here, well, I'll start in verse 12. Now when I, Paul, came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit. Not finding Titus, my brother, but taking my leave from them, I went on to Macedonia. Now remember, this is Paul, the ultimate evangelist. He lived his life to lead people to Christ. He goes to a place called Troas. It's never heard the gospel. This evangelist finds that a door is open in the Lord to preach the gospel. Can you imagine his heart rate? Ooh, wow, this is amazing. I'm here to preach the gospel and preach the gospel everywhere I go. The Lord has opened the door. But he doesn't stay and doesn't do it. Because his spirit was troubled. Not his flesh, his spirit was troubled. That's a contradiction. God opens the door, and God troubles his spirit to not walk through the door. You ever had anything in your life that you didn't understand happen, ever? Yesterday, today, this morning? And so here he is, because you see, Titus had been in Corinth trying to bring them to a place of repentance because of all their divisions. And he was supposed to meet Paul. And so Paul was really looking to meet him, and he thought he was going to come to Troas, and he didn't. So Paul left. His spirit was troubled. So here's this situation where God opens the door, God won't let him walk through it. It seems like a defeat to an evangelist, and it's really confusing too. But here's what he says. But thanks... Oh, there's that word. Here's the language of faith. But thanks be to God who always leads us. It is triumph in Christ. Now hear the words first. Remember, make it elegant. But thanks be to God in this confusing situation, in this circumstance I probably can't explain, what might even look like a defeat. You find yourself in situations every day that you can't control. It might even look like things aren't going right. But you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, thanks be to God, He's always leading you. Let's not make this any more complicated than it is. Jesus believed everything He did because He was utterly and totally surrendered, and He was in the Father. And in the Father just carried Him along every day into the mundane, to Walmart, on the Sermon on the Mount, whatever. But it was all significant because He was in the Father. And He was being sent. We saw that word over and over again in the Gospel of John on Friday afternoon. Jesus believed everything was as important to the Father. Spit in the mud, raised the dead. Also all the same to Jesus. He's just being sent because He's yielded. This is the same principle. He said, but thanks be to God who always leads us in His triumph in Christ. Just as Jesus was in the Father, if you're a Christian today, you are in Christ. And if you're in Christ and you're yielded to His will, then you can trust that whatever comes next, you're being sent. Just do the next obvious thing. Go to Walmart, do the grocery. Don't complain. Walk in faith. Thanks be to God, because you're in Christ. You're not just at Walmart. You're in Christ at Walmart. You're not just stuck in traffic. You're in Christ stuck in traffic. Who's always leading you? Always leading you. Always leading you. Always leading you. Always leading you. Now, can you get in rebellion and take over the leadership? Yes. I wouldn't advise it. I've tried it often, and it doesn't work really well. I've tried it recently, and it doesn't work really well. The griping and the complaining and the fussing and the reacting to situations and circumstances that you weren't expecting, that's being rebellious. That's unbelief. Or do we learn to practice the presence of Jesus and realize, He's always leading me. He's always leading me. And here's the good news. He's always leading you in His triumph. What might look like defeat to you, even in a situation that you were just, as far as you knew, you were yielded. And you walked into it and it kind of all fell apart. Just like Paul. Faith says, thanks be to God. I don't have to wait to see it. Faith is substance. I don't have to wait to figure it out. I don't have to wait for God to explain it to me. He doesn't really owe you or me an explanation. He's God. I don't have to wait for any of that. I can just stop and say, thanks be to God who always leads me in His triumph. It may feel like my defeat, but it's His triumph because I'm in Christ. You hear me? So do we really have the right to complain and fuss and get irritated when the waiter or the waitresses don't get the food to us fast enough? Shame on us as Christians. I've seen more testimonies of Jesus destroyed in restaurants by silly Christians who think they have their own personal rights. You're in Christ. If He wants your food to come late, it'll come late. Now, can you give and love a suggestion? You guys might want to do a little bit better with your kitchen. But to have an attitude? I've seen Christian leaders do that. They ought to be shot. Just shoot them. You don't have to kill them. Just wing them.
Right?
It's disgraceful. And then claim to be walking in the Spirit. No, you're not. I mean, it gets down to the nitty-gritty stuff, right? Your kids acted up. I remember Wood, when he was little, he was horrible. When he was a little bitty baby, he was horrible. He had his days and nights mixed up. It went on for weeks. I finally deserted my wife, went back into the back room and tried to get some sleep. And I told Olivia, I feel really horrible because we used to have this little bassinet you could carry. But it was like, it was wicker, had a little bitty cushion in the bottom. And I said, Olivia, I want to get him in that basket and just put him in the creek, let him go down the creek, just like Moses. I said, I'm convinced it's biblical and so it'll turn out okay. I wasn't walking in faith. When your kids act up, you get all angry at them. Shouldn't our first response be, thanks be to God? Thanks, Lord, I'm in Christ. Then deal with them, but then you'll deal with them supernaturally and in the Spirit, it'll change their life. They won't be confronted by just their parent, they'll be confronted by Jesus. Now, have I ever blown it? I've made an art form out of it. But I do know the truth. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in His triumph in Christ. And you walk that out moment by moment in all the details. This is supernatural living. This is revival worked out in the daily grind of living. I thank God for conferences like this, or retreats like this, or other conferences. I thank God for all those wonderful experiences. But what about when you get home? Do you just get to know revival every few months or every couple of years? It's all connected to the last thing you went to? We live most of our lives in ordinary time. And just like I've said over and over again, my kids wouldn't have really appreciated it if every day when I was home, I was like, whoa, wow, you're all falling out on the floor 15, 20 times a day. I want them to fall out on the floor when Jesus touches them. I have. But you've got to live your life supernaturally. And it's supernaturally natural in ordinary time. It's not just as sensational. Charismatics have got that all messed up. And we've messed up a lot of people. With sincerity, but messed them up. Live revival behind the computer. Next to your fellow worker. That's supernatural. To let the life of Christ manifest through you there. Thanks be to God. Instead of giving in to boredom and complaining. Oh, I hate my job. Really? Do you have another job? No? Then you're in Christ right where you are. So why don't you just say, thanks, Lord. I'm in Christ. And this is triumph. You're doing something significant here. I don't have to see it. I just know it. I'm going to act like it is so, even though it isn't so, in order for it to be so, because I know it is so. And what you'll see happen is you'll pull from that realm into this realm. You know, and when you get to people who are sick, pray for them, they get healed. You know, hopefully we'll all see people raised from the dead, do all that cool stuff. But just do the next most obvious thing, supernaturally, by faith. There's another verse that says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Well, I'm going to read this to you, and I'll start with the verse before. 1 Corinthians 15. You hear this. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So he talks about death, and he talks about the power of sin. Next verse. But thanks be to God. Oh, there's that word again. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ over death and sin, the daily issues of life. But thanks be to God. Victory in Christianity is a person. He's your victory. Because you're in Christ, Christ is in you. Just like Jesus has said about Jesus, He was in the Father, and so He was just sent, yielded. And just celebrated whatever the Father led him into. Thanks, Father. Thanks. You know, I'm in you, Father. You're in control. You're running my life. And then for every place he landed, and then he said, thanks, Father. You're big enough for this. And the Father was his victory. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. For every situation you find yourself in, that attitude, remembering that he's always leading you in Christ. And he's always triumphant. No matter what it looks like or feels like. You just go with it. I'm supposed to be somewhere, and now the line in Walmart's gotten really long. The person behind the register doesn't seem to know what they're doing. Thanks, Lord. I'm in Christ. Remember that place, that verse from Psalm 45? It's really important when you learn that. It's become an important verse for me. Ride on victoriously. In your majesty, ride on victoriously. Lord, I'm in this situation standing in line. Ride on victoriously, Lord. I'm going to be late for the meeting. It's not my fight. Ride on victoriously, Lord. I'm in Christ. You always triumph. Ride on victoriously, Lord. You're perfecting that which concerns me. I'm not in control of my life or my schedule. And then when I get to the place and in that situation, and I go, well, gosh, what am I going to say to the people when I get there? How am I going to explain I'm going to be late? Thanks, Lord. You're my victory. And you're going to do it just right. What if I get there and I do that and they don't understand? They get mad at me. Ride on victoriously. I'm in Christ. So for every temptation, for every situation, and for every circumstance, and in every relationship, you're in Christ. And so you have this surrendered, yielded heart. Jesus said, learn from me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. He said, I'll give you rest for your souls. He said, for my load is easy, my burden is light. That is so ridiculous. But because he wasn't living a life of resistance to his Father's will. And so if every circumstance, situation comes up, so the temptation comes up again. What do? Thank you, Lord, right now that you are my victory. And you release him in faith, even before you see it, to come as your hero and warrior. The verse before that one, Psalm 45, says, gird thy sword on thy thigh, O hero warrior. It's the word mighty one, but it means, O hero warrior. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're my victory. And watch him conquer. He who's overcome will overcome. Right? That's for every temptation, those thoughts that come up. Thank you, you're my victory. You face a situation, you're going to speak in front of people, you're a little nervous, you're in Christ. So you go, okay, Lord, thanks be to God. You always lead me. You always lead me in triumph. Thanks, you're going to be my victory here. I commit this situation, this circumstance to you. Thank you, Lord, that you always lead me in triumph in Christ. So I'm just going to thank you in anticipation of a God-given victory in this situation and circumstance. That's living life by faith. And the language of faith, the thank you thing, is saying, I'm not going to wait to see it, to believe it. We walk by faith, not by sight. I know that sounds real simple, but it is real simple. As I've said to you before, we're called sheep. We're not spiritual rocket scientists. He meant to make it simple for us so that every person, no matter who you are, can walk it out. Amen? Well, that's his story, and I'm sticking to it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.